I believe there will come a very strong move of God in prayer. What I want to encourage you as leaders with is to really find your greatest strength privately. Find your greatest strength privately in private prayer before the Lord. This has been my quest recently. And I must, you know, I've always enjoyed times with the Lord and times of personal prayer. But in recent days, it's just been so all the more important, and a blessing that I've been stressed, that I'm experiencing, that I haven't experienced to the degree that I am now in times past. This teaching on finances, this, especially first fruits, was daunting a task. Not that it's, hello, Kiara, what's her name again, Tegan?
Reagan.
Reagan, how are you, Reagan?
Hi.
Hey, are you okay?
Yes.
Great to have you in the meeting. Good. So I really prayed for wisdom. And I must say, God answered me. At one point in the writing, how's it, John? At one point in the writing, I would get stuck. And I would just leave the office and say, look, I know when I'm trying to work something out in my own flesh. And I know when it's not being inspired by the Lord. I remember one day this happened and I just left the office and it was very early in the morning. And I went outside, I sat on the stairs and I just prayed. I said, if you don't give me the words, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to just put out something to have something put out. And my words to God was this: if this does not stand the test of your fire, I'm not going to release it. I'm fully aware that at the judgment seat, all our works will be tried before the Lord. And the works that are tested by fire will stand. And I said, I don't want to do something that's going to come to nothingness on that day. And I prayed and prayed. And then it seemed as though nothing happened that day. That night I went to bed and I could not sleep. And the Lord flooded my mind with thoughts. I actually got up, came down here. This was about 2 in the morning. And I worked from 2 a.m. to about 5 a.m. It was like the best work in the document I've done, because I felt it was like a download from heaven. And what it did, it gave me perspective as to aspects in some of the other chapters. But it all came from waiting upon the Lord. It all came from praying. It all came from spending time in His presence. And it's a fundamental that we must be thoroughly aware of. So today, I just want to spend some time praying for you and praying with you. But I want to pray about something that occurred in one of our Saturday morning prayer meetings concerning Acts 16. Now, I won't read it because you guys know the contents of Acts 16. But basically, Paul had this vision from a man in Macedonia: come over and help us. And then Luke and others sought to go, and they went. Remember, Macedonia is a province, large area. Philippi is a port city, I think, in the province. So they eventually go there, and I mean, he's just obedient to an apostolic call: come and help us. He goes in obedience to the call, without a strategy, without knowing what must I do when I get there. You know, I'm just obeying God. You know, it's like Abraham by faith leaving his land and just responding to a call and saying, go. When he gets there, the Bible says he goes to the place of prayer. And there was a group of women praying by a river. Lydia was one of the women praying there. Point again is, en route to praying, when prayer is the focus, clarity is given, definition is given to purpose. God begins to open the mind of Paul to how his work in Philippi will have a solid basis of operation, right? A group of women was praying there, and the Bible says Paul spoke the word to them. And then you get this text where it says, and the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to receive the things that was said by Paul. Lydia then said, she beckoned us, Paul says, to use her house, come into her house and to lodge there. The point is this, Lydia's home was open when Lydia's heart was open. The Lord opened, and you know, it's not Paul that opened the heart of Lydia. It's God who opened the heart of Lydia. All Paul did, Paul spoke. And I want to encourage you as ministers, when you preach the word, simply do your part. Let the Lord open the hearts, you know, because your word will be received only by the hearts that God has opened. Also, do not be discouraged by those who reject your word because of closed hearts. God told me in the season, I'm going to work on hearts to be open to the word that you preach. Those whose hearts are open will respond by opening their homes. Now, I'm talking symbolically. You're a discerner. I'm talking prophetically. They will open their context. They will open their resource. They will open their substance. Because Lydia was a businesswoman. She was a dealer in fine purple, as you know, right? Only kings buy purple cloth. Her clientele was kings. She was an extremely wealthy woman, you know. This is very close to the story of Elisha coming into the city and that woman who regarded him, built that upper room, remember? The Bible says there that she too was a wealthy woman. And the Lord said this to me, that we must pray that our days of financial struggle will be over in the ministry. That finances no longer will pose a significant threat to the spread of the apostolic message. Okay? So, Paul, think about it like this. Paul responds to a vision. His responsibility is to be obedient, to go to the place of prayer, speak the word. That's all he must do. I want to challenge all of us, keep preaching the word and keep praying. Those two dynamics, keep speaking, keep praying. God has got a Lydia somewhere positioned that's going to hear you. You will not open their hearts. God sovereignly is going to open their hearts. And they will open their homes. They will open their treasure. They will open their substance. And they will use their influence and their clout as a basis to penetrate whole regions. Okay? Lydia's house. I love the phrase, Lydia's house. Lydia's house becomes Paul's basis of operation in the city of Lydia, of Philippi. Okay, please remember this. I mean, we have the book of Philippians today because one woman opened her home, right? And remember when this church started to grow and mushroom, they were the first church that shared with Paul in the matter of giving and receiving. Remember, I mean, you guys know the content of the book of Philippians. He said, from the first day in the gospel up until now, no church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving save you. And you have become partakers of grace with me, right? Even in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, when he says to the Corinthians that the churches at Macedonia is the province, but Philippi was the first in the province. Out of deep poverty, they shared liberally, right? And he says, I want to make known to you the grace of God given to them. The point that I want to stress is this. Listen carefully. Philippi became a consistent source of financial support to the apostle. Even such that when Paul was in Corinth for 18 months, there are two cities that Paul refused financial support, the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. The reason why Paul did not want financial support from Corinth was that the city was plagued by false apostles who abused the church financially. And Paul wanted to distance himself from their behavior. And even though he says in his letter, it is my right that those who preach the gospel must live by the gospel. Do not muzzle the ox while he's treading the corn. The labor is worth, he said, and then he says to them, I've not insisted upon these things, but I've worked with my own hands so as not to be a burden to you. Then in this week, I read through Acts, the section where Paul was at Corinth. When Paul was at Corinth for the time, a few months, he engaged in tent making to support himself. Then the Bible says this in Acts 18, I think it is, that Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, from Philippi, to Paul. This is Acts 18, verse 5. And it says remarkably these words, from that time onwards, Paul began to singularly devote himself to the ministry of the word. There was a time in Corinth when he couldn't because he was straddling two positions. He was working and he was doing the ministry. But it's amazing when Paul and Timothy and Silas came from Macedonia, obviously with resource, obviously with financial support. The scripture says that Paul began to devote himself to the ministry of the word. This is my prayer for you and my prayer for us. God is going to raise up a kind of Macedonian principle in your church, in your context. There where you are in Trinidad, in Zimbabwe, and in Mozambique. Take this, and even those of you that are not here listening to this word, take this as a prophetic statement. There is a Lydia waiting somewhere. You just be faithful to preach. You just be faithful to pray. Two things, pray much, preach much. Right? That's my urgent cry to you. Pray much, preach much. Because God is going to open up the heart of a Lydia, Philippian, Macedonian company that will provide you a new basis, a platform from which you can beam off the word of the Lord to whole regions. You know that even when, you know, on one of their days in Philippi, that spirit, that girl with the spirit of divination was crying out after Paul and Silas and others, you men of the Most High God, but you are speaking demonically, right? Was she saying something bad? No. She was saying something good. Was she saying something false? No. She was speaking the truth. These are the men of the Most High God. So the Lord cautioned me not to be impressed by false flattery, not to be impressed by false commendation, not to be taken up by a voice that might seek to flatter you, but dilute you. The flattery voice can become a flattening voice if we're not careful. If the source is demonic, it's going to dilute. Even though it's true, all semblances about it, it seems commendable, but its intent is to dilute what you have. And you know what the Bible says? Paul, after many days, said to the spirit, he rebuked the spirit out of that little girl. Remember? So that got Paul and Silas into serious trouble because it affected the economy of the masters who owned the girl. Landed them up in prison. You know the story. They prayed. Again, the importance of prayer. At midnight, they prayed. And God caused an earthquake. God caused an earthquake. When Peter was imprisoned and the church prayed, remember when Peter, I think in Acts 5 or early on, or Acts 12, I think it is, when Peter was in prayer and they prayed for him, the prison doors swung open, remember? And Peter walked out. But yeah, in this, in Acts 16, when Paul is in prison, God doesn't swing the prison doors open. God shakes the foundation of the whole prison. This is a different kind of deliverance, right? It's far more impressive than how Peter was. I think one day, I think right now these guys are arguing in heaven over whose deliverance was more impressive. Paul must be saying, Peter, yours, nothing compared on me. God opened the door. For me, he shook the foundations of the whole structure. Listen carefully. When God delivered Peter from prison, only Peter was delivered. When God delivered Paul from prison, every other jailer was also delivered. Every other person in prison. So yeah, God is shaking the foundation of the structure that prevents Paul's efforts of ministry in Philippi. Right? And the Lord told me this. I heard it in the prayer meeting. The Lord said to me, not only will I now start to raise up strong support for you financially so you can do the things you need to do, but the Lord said, I will start to even dismantle and break down every limitation that seems to imprison and limit your movements, right? But I'm not just opening prison doors. I'm going to shake the prison structure itself so that your deliverance is not singular. You're going to be set free along with many others, right? So I want to say this to all of you. I know John is thinking of starting a forum there in Mozambique. I know, Rods, you and Joseph lead other pastors in your respective jurisdictions. This is not only going to be true for you, but it's going to be true for everybody else that you lead. Your breakout is everybody else's breakout. But God, let me just say this prophetically, God had to imprison you to release you so that with your release, others are released too. But you have to be a man of prayer. You have to be committed to praying more than you've ever had before. God is saying, I want the kind of prayers that break prisons. I want the kind of prayers that are at the midnight of your hour. Remember they sang, they prayed and sang hymns at midnight, the Bible says, right? And you know what? The jailer, remember the chief jailer was so scared. He came to Paul and he was so scared because the Roman authorities would have taken him to task because imagine, I don't know, I know there's a series called Prison Break. I haven't seen it. I just know it exists. It's a series about people break out of prisons, I think. Paul could write his own movie, Prison Break, right? I feel sorry for this jailer because what do you tell your authorities? Because they're going to hold you account. What happened here? Every jailer gone? Every prisoner gone? Right? You're so scared, Paul said to him, please, we are all here. You would think if the prison, this was an ordinary earthquake, right? And a supernatural earthquake shakes them. You would think when the prison doors open, every prisoner is going to, woo, freedom. Amazingly, they all congregate around Paul because Paul's words were, we are all here. Don't be scared, right? We are all here. So it's not a violation of civic authority. The Paul and the prisoners were not violating For some of the prisoners might be serving prison terms justifiably for their crimes, and they did not run away, they were there. Paul said, he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. So the jailer was saved that day, okay? And the Lord said this to me, key people are going to be saved in this season, key personnel. Cornelius kind of people. Remember Cornelius in Acts 10? When Peter went to his house, that guy was in charge of at least, well, depending on your definition of centurion, anywhere from 300 to about 800 soldiers. He gets saved, you must say got a massive influence, you know? And the Lord said to me, so what I want you to be fully aware of, brethren, is this. Look out for the Lydias. Don't be insecure about provision. Don't be insecure about provision. God will adequately take care of you. Be faithful to preaching and to praying. Be faithful also to financial principles. The Lord will bring a Lydia to your ministry or to your life. They're going to be brought to you, not because of you, because of the word. Lydia is only with Paul because of the word he preached, right? She opens her home. Amazingly, when Paul is released from prison, the Bible says Lydia beckoned Paul to come back to her house to stay. This girl was unafraid of the authorities. She was unafraid of being associated with Paul, right? Obviously, the magistrate got involved and he begged Paul to leave the city, you know, because Paul was causing major upsets in Philippi, right? I am persuaded that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Christ. To whom did Paul say that? It's found in the book of Philippians. Paul said those words to a Philippian company. These guys were something else, this church, you know. I'm fully persuaded that he was, I've received the gift, he said, that you sent by the hands of Epaphroditus, a gift, an aroma well-pleasing to God. Now my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And all of these verses now means so much all the more to me. When you understand how Philippi was founded, all these incipient movements of ministry within the city. Now when you read the book, oh, you can understand. I mean, in the book of Philippi, of Philippians, Paul had to caution two women, remember? Euodia and Syntyche. He says, please tell those two women to get on, not to quarrel. They seem to be two credible, strong women, strong support to Paul, but they had personal issues, right? It seemed like everybody in Philippi that came out from that context was strong. And by the way, they tell us of all the churches in the New Testament, the church of Philippi is the only one still standing today. Historically, there is a church called Philippi in Europe, the same, one of the buildings is still standing, and they attribute that building to have associations with Paul historically, down through the ages. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer now. I'm going to pray this prayer over you. I'm going to pray it as a blessing. I'm going to pray it as an impartational dynamic. I'm going to pray it as a word from God for you. Do you know what Lydia means? The word Lydia means firebrand. So we need some firebrands, some people on fire. But her name also means travailing or giving birth. Her name also means one who bends forth. when you think of Lydia, think of this like a travailing woman. That's Lydia. She travails, a firebrand, and she brings forth. That's the kind of woman that Paul had in his in active support of him in his ministry in the earliest days in the book, in the city of Philippi. And so I want to encourage you just to open your hearts as we pray and receive this blessing from the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. The words that we've just read and have spoken about are your words, are your intelligence that we have divinely perceived is your heart for every single one of us. Father, I thank you that you have positioned Lydia's at riversides because they will be in prayer. I thank you that you have already opening the hearts of those that you have deemed worthy to hear the word and to receive the word. I speak for it now, Father, and I ask you, open those hearts to their fullest extremity. I ask for the words that Joseph preaches, that Roderick preaches, that John preaches, and others. I ask for those words to have new penetration into areas that are beckoning. Come over and help us. In the spirit, we perceive that. And I pray, God, as they venture forth, they would already encounter people of Lydia's ilk that you have prepared before they even get there. And I thank you that homes, resources, wealth, support will be opened up to them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, O God, that we will not be seduced by false flattery, by spirits of divination that seek to dilute our anointing. We will not be dependent upon the praise from the domain of the demonic because we are not insecure in ourselves. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. I ask you, give us a spirit of discernment. Give us a spirit of discernment to pick up the spirit that is spurious, that seeks to impress us, but not to impart to us. Father, I pray also that in areas where we feel imprisoned, where there's an impasse, where there seems to be no forward movement, Father, cause an earthquake, break structures, break mindsets, break imprisoning circumstances. Dismantle the very system itself. Don't just open the door, break the structure. Let there come such freedom that this freedom will not only be ours, but that will be ours and our sons, ours and every other person that feels the sense of encasement, that feels the sense of entrapment. Father, I thank you for this Philippian, Macedonian, Lydian company that you are raising up. I speak it forth. We anticipate it. By faith, we believe you for it. We want to walk into it. I thank you, O God, that 2021 and beyond will be a year of ample supply for the ministries, ample supply for the work that you have called us to do in the name of Jesus. And so, God, teach us to be faithful to pray. Teach us to be faithful to preach. To preach in season, to preach out of season. To preach in the convenient and in the inconvenient moments, to always have the word of the Lord on our lips. I ask, O God, that this word will have signs and wonders following it, and that many will come to a new place of being resourced by the Lydian dynamic that you are bringing to us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you take your emblems? This morning in our prayer meeting, we focused on Jesus's prayer in the garden. And I said to the group, he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, and we prayed over a range of other scriptures that speak about praying the will of the Lord. So as we partake of his body and as we partake of his blood, we are saying, as he committed to go through the cross to do the will, we are saying, God, no matter what the cost, we are prepared to do the will. Even if we must drink of this cup of suffering, but do your will, we must. And so I will encourage you to partake of his body and drink his blood as we remember him, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's partake. I've been airing these videos, that series I preached in Kenya recently, every Tuesday and Saturday. There's another one at 6 tonight, just 5 parts. So some guy in Perth, Australia, watched the first 2. And he texted yesterday to say that he's extremely impressed by the word. This guy is a business guy. He's a marketplace minister, so to speak. I went on his YouTube channel and I checked. He ministers very strongly in marketplace context, etc. But obviously now he wants to build relationships because of what he heard. And he added me to a prophetic group that he manages on Facebook that he wants me to make input to. Now, your greatest resource is relationships. But what happened? The Lord opened his heart to receive a word. Now he's opening up his context. You never know who's going to hear your word when. So always be faithful to preach. And be diligent. Work hard, diligent in the ministry. And from what I know of you guys, you're extremely hard workers. You're not the lazy bunch. You're the diligent bunch. Keep at it. Keep going. Don't look back. I said, God, I would rather die doing your work, right, than to live not doing anything at all. And so keep going. I know God's going to do very, very powerful things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts? That's my word of encouragement and prayer for you today. I know it's a bit different. It was a very spontaneous, prophetic thing. Yeah.
I just, I'm so thankful for what I have heard, what we have heard this morning, Papa. It's like a real fresh emphasis on praying, going back to prayer and understanding prayer from the context of who we are and, the purpose of the Lord being done on the earth. I like what you said. Sometimes we become so doctrinal that we, the word of God is so strong in our hearts that sometimes we pray, but we put less emphasis there because the word is so strong in us. But I'm thankful for that. Our Heavenly Papa moving upon you to bring us back to that emphasis of prayer. And so I thank you so much for those words.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's going to be very important to excel and be strong in prayer. And so keep on praying. Amen.
Amen.
We'll meet again in 2 weeks, and that will be our last meeting for the year. We'll take a bit of a break. So 2 Saturdays from now. By then, the match will definitely be finished. I'll be more freer, more relaxed. That's to be finished next week, actually, so... And I record. Do you know, say, Gates Anton, I have to record on Monday for their Sunday service. Okay. Stomach wants the video on Monday evening because they have to put scriptures in and all of that. So I have to be ready Monday morning for my next installment. And so please track the series.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, great being together. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Yeah.
your night and your day, your night in this part of the world and your day in Trinidad. You've got the whole day ahead. We're moving towards our night soon. Yeah. And then we'll meet in 2 weeks' time. I want to encourage you to send a Thanksgiving video. We have our Thanksgiving on the 20th of December. So would you send a 2-minute video, not more than 2 minutes? Just Thanksgiving for the year, you and your family. Do a nice video, landscape, not portrait, if you're using a phone. We're going to collate all these videos for our Thanksgiving service on the 20th. Of December. It'll be great to have an international flavor.
Okay. Well, don't forget to send the recording out.
Yes, I've got to do the last one. Please, yeah, I'll do it.
I said, love you lots. I'm going to try and get, I haven't spoken to the other pastors on Apostolic Connect, and I think they should be part of this live broadcast.
Yes.
The Zoom meeting. So I'm going to get hold of. It's a bit. You're saying it's going to be our last one in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I thought we'd take a bit of a break. 2 weeks' time will be mid-December sometime.
Yeah. I'll speak to a couple of them. Maybe for 2 weeks' time to come on, and then going forward next year, perhaps we get a whole host of them coming on. So a number of them would like to come on.
Sure, that'll be awesome.
It's going to be on the 12th.
Yeah, 12th of December will be our last one.
Yeah.
Oh, super.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, guys,
that's just before Joseph and my birthday on the 12th of December. We share the same.
I'm on the 16th, Ron.
I'm also on the 16th, same like you.
Oh, man, great.
My dad's birthday. My dad was on the 16th.
Ah.
Wow, good break.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, blessings. Enjoy the rest of your day. Love you a lot.
See you, Papa. Bye-bye. You guys see you. Bye-bye. Yeah.